I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hi, I'm Sarah Smith. If you're the type of person that goes to Liberty as other people would go on safari, and the fact that John Lewis doesn't have a funeral service makes you fret, Sarah Smith cleaning cloths are for you. Sarah Smith, available from Sainsbury's, for the posher washer. Proud sponsors of Dumpty Dum.
Dumpty Dum, the show about reality docudrama that's set in Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the Wry Fox, that is Roifield Brown, and with me I have the blood-stained chicken, that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our Hollow Tree Hen Horror is you. Now, today's Dumpty Dum is from my girl Vicky Cole from Kenya. Now, thank you for that.
Can I just interrupt you?
Hmm?
I need to fess, don't I?
Yeah.
People of Dumpty Dum, I cannot describe.
I'm just laughing in anticipation.
A bloody idiot I am. Mm. I have spent, as you know, I've been away. Mm. And I decided that I would catch up on all my Archer's things and write all my scripts and everything today. And I did it. And I had a lovely morning's listening. And then I spent the afternoon writing a monologue and everything. And it was only when I was texting Roifield to say I was ready that I realised I have written the monologue and everything for the wrong week, not the week just gone, the week before. It was only after I'd listened to all your calls and I thought, what the hell are they on about? I thought, maybe it's Sunday's episode. And then I thought, no, hang on. It can't, you know, an awful lot happened in one 12-minute episode. If this was all Sunday, what is going on? And then I realised I am a Burke the size of Scotland. So I'm very sorry, everybody. None of this will make sense because I've listened to the wrong week, ultimately, because I'm a Burke. Sorry. That's it. I've fessed now. I feel better. I feel cleansed, Roifield.
So... our expert analysis on all things Archerdom this week is going to be even more poor than normal.
It's just going to be a bit retro. It's going to be a week out of date. That's
all right. All right. Lucy.
Yes.
After saying sorry, why don't you just tell people how they can sing a Dumpty Dum? And you know what? Together, we'll figure out how we'll get through this show together.
If you'd like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, give us a plot prediction or join in the general circus of incompetence that is Dumpty Dum. Yay. Ring us on 0203 0313 105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Derek in the back bedroom, and also apologies, Derek, from me. I was away. He is not happy at the state the back bedroom's been left in. Apparently, Shambridge has left her fag ash, her pepperami wrappers and vodka bottles all over the place. I found a pair of Yokel Bear's pants under the bed and Terry Malloy broke a window. So I've had a whiz round with a dustbuster and I'm buying Derek some hobnobs to apologise. Thanks also to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and to Sarah Smith for sponsoring us.
On this week's show, we have calls from Jacqueline Berto, who is a homing pigeon, Michelle Lafert, who is feeling helpless. Michelle Lafert is feeling hopeless. Witherspoon, who agrees with me. Woohoo! Blythe Spirit, who has sympathy for Anna Tregoran. Auntie Jean, who thinks Pip has had a visit from the AI man.
Yeah.
Auntie Jean, who thinks Pip has had a visit from the AI man. Goddess Diva, who still hates Rob Kelsey-Priest, and Julie from Pickering, who thinks Pat missed a trick. But first, after 3 weeks, let's have Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
I've been away, so a quick catch-up. Linda's put off rearranging her spice rack and someone's given Jean Harvey a right mouthful by the village hall, so there's always good news for someone. Fallon has co-opted Dorothy Dandridge into her icing sugar empire and the almost entirely misguided Brazilian theme for the fete was very authentic. The village pond went green and a group of visiting Americans in swimming trunks accused Susan of holding them up at gunpoint. This week really belonged to Saint Shula of the Itchy Vest. She had a birthday party and sat on a spike all night while she quivered with guilt over the fact that she told a massive, great, whopping fib to Harrisman Burns about the hunt sab. She got the wrong answer from her husband and then got the wrong answer from Yar Caroline over whether or not she should tell Anna Toboggan about the hunt sab. Anna Toboggan rather brusquely said that as Shula was a massive liar, liar, pants on fire, her evidence was inadmissible. Shula was delighted as it enabled her to rub herself with hedgehogs and squirt lemon juice into her eyes. Alistair seems to have given up on Shula entirely. He didn't even turn up to her birthday party. In a hugely ironic gesture, he bought her a sat-nav so she could never get lost, no matter how much he wanted her to. Fairbrother Senior had a heart attack. Rex was concerned about his father's heart. Toby was concerned about his own nether regions, as his father lying near death would interfere heavily with his own cardiac aerobic activities with Pip. Some of which are taking place at Hollow Tree. Shagging in a hen house. How nice. This is a terrifically bad idea because A, straw gets everywhere and hurts. B, hens have red mites. And C, it was only the day before they were hauling 50 chicken corpses out of there. How romantic. Anyway, when Pip got back to Brooke, as Jill said, "Ooh, you've got red cheeks." Honestly, if Pip wants to keep it quiet, the least she could do is put her trousers on. In a further installment of Aren't the Bankrupt Grundys Hilarious, Joe and Eddie decided to create a cottage hospital for elves while Grange Farm continued its inexorable slide into becoming Borsich's first pig-based aquarium. Why they can't get on with something sensible, like trying to put elf ears on a horse, I don't know. Ed and Emma are in a similar situation, and Ed's only solution is to say to Emma, "Trust me, something will turn up." Yes. Diphtheria, knowing the Grundys. Hootie Jill and Carol Toboggan took a couple of smokers down the garden. They came back giggling and then ate an entire tin of flapjacks. Titchy Knob encouraged Captain Harassment Carpet Burns to instruct Adam and Tom to sledge the opposition at the match. Those two couldn't sledge Santa to the North Pole, but anyway, they won. Then Harassment suddenly realised that he probably shouldn't be getting pissed with the victim of a crime in which he was heavily involved. Not that it matters, not when the defending solicitor is living three doors down from the victim, her godmother is related to the accused, and chats to a potential key witness in the middle of her own birthday party. Now, I was really hoping that this Helen and Rob storyline would be all sorted out while I was away, but sadly, apparently no one's been able to deal with it, so I suppose it's all down to me. Helen feels as if she's been climbing a cliff and then looking down or something. Helen, I do not care if you've climbed a cliff or skateboarded round a multi-story sodding car park. Just tell Anna Toboggan and let's move this storyline on. Titchy Knob is trying to work out why he has no character witness. Because you've got a really horrible character? At the rate he was being shunned at the cricket, he'll have to buy a character statement from Fat Paul, who will do it in exchange for a can of Fanta and some scampy knickknacks. Everyone is worried about the peculiar damp patches that are appearing all over Grange Farm. Everyone except Joe, that is, who is delighted that his incontinence is being blamed on everything from drains to a natural spring to a sycamore tree. Meanwhile, Linda has been wandering round with a dead dog in her handbag. Oh, Ambridge, it feels as if I've never been away. The end.
Ooh. Thank goodness you're back, Lucy. It would have been
better if we dealt with the week that we've actually had.
Well, you know what? Something's better than nothing, even if it is like 7 days out of date.
Oh, talk about a damning with faint praise. Shall I do another one?
Okay. Go on then.
No, I haven't written it yet. I haven't even heard the bloody episodes, have I?
Oh, okay. Right. So now what do we do?
Well, the thing is, a lot of what people were saying in the calls, I mean, a lot of the time I was thinking, what the hell are they on about? But some of the time it made sense because not a lot has progressed in the last, you know, the basic themes of the storyline stay the same, haven't they?
Okay.
So fill me in then. What's happened? Phoebe's got into Oxford, has she?
Yes.
Good.
Josh has done really well with his results and is basically having a gap year. He's not going to go, but he's going to work on the farm. He's not going to go straight to uni.
Has that annoyed Pip then? Has that annoyed Pip?
We haven't heard Pip's opinion yet, other than she thought he was going to get rubbish results beforehand. So,
okay.
Anna Tregaron.
Yeah.
Wanted.
I suddenly remembered she's a solicitor and not a counsellor and has said, for fuck's sake, either tell me what happened or we're going to lose this case.
Well, she's soon to be a divorcee.
Oh.
So she wanted to be back with her partner, Max, and Max took her out for a swanky dinner. She got all dolled up and thought, oh, and she was really all excited. And she's retired to her room with a bottle of gin. When he basically said, right, I got this new girlfriend and she isn't all consumed by work and I want a divorce. So then she's all like, oh. Okay. Alistair and Shula. Well,
why can't we just have a solicitor who's just a solicitor? Why does she have to have a massive, great, complicated, bloody backstory?
Well, I don't know. But she's a barrister. So anyway.
Whatever.
Now, Alistair got a slap down from Docky Locky.
Alistair got a slap down from Docky Locky what?
Did I say Alistair? No, Shula. I meant Shula if I said Alistair. Shula.
She got a knockback.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And she was trying to get him to come to the opera and he basically went, nah, I'm really busy every night of the week. Toby.
This is great. I'm not going to listen next week. I'm just going to get you to tell me what happened.
Toby and Pip. This is all from me memory banks. Right.
Okay.
Toby and Pip. So Toby goes round to Pip's for a little bit of.
Yes, I know what he went round there for. Yeah,
yeah. For a cuddle at lunchtime, saying, "I'll come round for lunch." Pip actually made lunch, and he was, "Oh, you've actually made lunch." And then the phone rang, and it was Matthew, and she took the call. He lost his rag. He's obviously really jealous. Pip told him to leave, so he did. Did the David and the Josh thing. Oh, there's a very heartwarming scene. Well, heartrending, I should say. Emma and Eddie, and Emma just said, you know what? I just want what normal people have for their kids. Nice clothes, little trip to the seaside. Wow. Why is everything just so hard and so crap? All in all, it was awesome. Oh, Rob and Henry.
Yeah.
So basically, Rob gets Henry ready to go for his seaside break with Pat and Tony.
Yeah.
And Rob is very upset that Henry was really excited to go.
Right.
And there was more backstory about him feeling, him being Rob, feeling all abandoned and somewhat morose about going to boarding school.
Right.
Ursula came back and kind of annoyed Rob, saying, I'll come back and I'll clean. Rob didn't want her to come and then kind of felt lonely. So his mum did come. The end. That was it.
So what happened at the CAFCAS meeting?
We don't know.
Oh, yes, Rob. Nothing.
That wasn't, as you would say, that wasn't a voices off thingy. It just hasn't. We just don't know yet. We do not know. And it definitely wasn't part of Friday's show, though it's supposed to have happened on Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Do you think that Henry is going to tell someone that he met a nice lady when he went off with Daddy?
I've no.
Oh no, because he wasn't there, was he? They went off to the playground, didn't they? Henry wasn't there when
No, he did say meet daddy's friend.
Yes, didn't he?
He said, yeah, he did.
No, but he didn't say, when he said that threatening thing to Jess about you wouldn't want to change, you wouldn't want anything bad to happen in your nice life, would you? Sort of thing.
6-year-olds not going to remember that anyway, are they? But you know what? I just think what's going to happen here is that Rob's going to implode. I think that's where we're going with this, because
I still think Charlie's the
really?
Charlie's the linchpin. Yeah, God knows why. Because I have hoped against hope that everybody at some point is going to be the linchpin. I thought it was going to be Shula and the Hunt Sab. Then I thought it was going to be Stefan. Then I thought it was going to be Justin. Then I thought it was going to be Jess. And I've run out of people now. The only one left is Charlie.
I think that's the reason why I say that surely what we're going to have here is a Rob implosion, because whatever Charlie's evidence is, it's just, you know, in effect, anti-character witness stuff for Rob, isn't it? Nothing directly pertains to this case. It's not as if Charlie's going to turn around and say, I've heard him belittle, threaten Helen, you know, puts her or Henry's life in jeopardy. You know, it might blacken Rob's character, but it doesn't go any way to explain the reason why Helen justifiably...
Well, you know what Greavesy thinks, don't you?
What does Greavesy think?
He thinks that that Rob is not going to be able to cope with being cross-questioned by a woman, by Anna Toboggan.
That it's either going to be that...
And that he's going to sort of...
Before the trial, he's just going to implode because he's feeling stressed. Oh, I forgot something quite significant about last week, Lucy. Rob goes off for an interview with Justin to be some supervisor at Damara. And right here and now, we believe he's got the job.
Right.
It's not 100% written in stone, but we believe he's got the job. That's pretty significant because it appears like he's on his way back, so to speak.
What? Justin wouldn't hire somebody.
Well, funny you should say that.
Girlfriend's
funny you should say that, because Justin confides in Lillian and says he's thinking of giving Rob this job. And Lillian goes, nah, don't do that, Justin. He's a bit of a wrong'un. It's a feeling in my water, blah, blah, blah. Justin and Lillian basically have words. And Justin says, I'm a good judge of character. I know how to run my businesses, etc. Blah, blah, blah. Rob comes back from the meeting feeling that it's gone well, but he's agitated by his mother, Ursula, being, oh, well, of course you're going to get it. You're extant, Robert. You know, and he basically says, what the hell do you know, woman? And he's all agitated and then gets a call back from Justin to confirm that Justin thinks that it's gone positive and turns around to his mum and says, you were right all alone. Thank you. All along, sorry. Thank you. Blah, 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 blah. But he hasn't 110% got the job yet, I don't think.
Okay.
Right. So that's been Dumpty Dum this week, everybody. Don't forget, we're on social media. Well,
if anyone else would like an audio blow-by-blow account of what's happened over the last week, please contact Royfield Brown.
I suppose we should actually do some calls.
Yeah.
And we'll do them as best as we can, eh?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first, Freeman?
Jacqueline Berthaud.
Ooh.
Hi, it's Jacqueline Berthaud from Saint-Gwen in Brittany, France. I used to be a fairly regular caller in her, but I stopped for a while. I found the story with Rob very difficult and... I still do, but I've determinedly started catching up. And after 5 weeks of a grandchild and a holiday in the UK with more or less no internet, I've started cleaning my jungle of a garden and listening. So I've got through the first two omnibuses and the first two dum-de-dums. I love the story about the superpowers. I've got superpower as well, Royfield. It's connected with maps, but it's also connected with direction. So I never cease to amaze my family, apparently. I just take it for granted. But I can't get lost. Famous last words. I did once get lost in New Zealand because apparently the sun's in the wrong place. Anyway, so far I'm coping very well with the general chit-chat and storyline, the silly Pip thing. But the Rob thing is still getting to me too much, and I almost had to stop during the last exchange that I listened to with Rob about the holiday and all the rest of it. But thank goodness they all seem to be recognising he's manipulating them. I'm going to go back to the garden rather than listen to the omnibus this Sunday morning and catch up with the next three omnibuses and the next three dum-de-dums. Bye!
Right, now what's Jacqueline say?
She is a homing pigeon. Mm. Who knew? She was talking about superpowers, and hers is Magnetic North. She knows where Magnetic North is because she got very baffled in New Zealand because the moon was on the wrong side or the wrong way up or something. She says there is still too much Rob. Are we thinking that there's still too much Rob and Helen? It's just building up and building and building and building to this court case, isn't it? And I'm not sure that my poor old nerves are going to be able to stand that. Mm. That. Do you think they're going to do like a special?
You know what? I have no idea. I've given up predicting with this, other than I did predict all of about 3 minutes ago. So what I've just said is bunkum.
What date is the trial?
Some point in September, so it's pretty soon, isn't it?
Now I'm just thinking, is it a Friday night? I wonder if they're gonna...
I don't know, but surely the trial's going to be over at least two, if not three episodes, surely.
Yeah,
you know, you can't have 18 months worth of build up and then it'd be over in less than 12 minutes.
It sounds like quite a few of the men I know.
What was your superpower? I can't remember.
Knowing what people were going to order on menus.
Oh, that was it. That was it.
Do you know what Judi Dench's superpower is?
No.
Judi Dench can tell what time it is to within a minute without ever looking at her watch or clock.
Really?
Yep.
Mm. Anyway, more superpowers, please, people. But I quite like anybody that can read a map. I think that's kind of quite useful.
Anybody with a sense of direction impresses me.
Right, now, Michelle, what's she on about?
Hey, everybody, it's Michelle from Rhode Island, hovering in a state between radical acceptance and learned helplessness. As the scriptwriters have spent the last 2 months moderating our expectations and extinguishing little glimmers of hope one by one, this kind of torturous, methodical manner. Anna seems useless. Shula's information doesn't matter. Jess isn't going to speak up. Even Kaz isn't doing anything lately. So I'm going to accept the fact that Rob is going to win the lawsuit, win custody. Helen's going to spend time in jail. And I'm going to stop worrying about it. Hope all is well. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
She said actually that our hopes are being extinguished one by one, really. In that Shula's now thing is evidence is inadmissible.
Mm-hmm.
Scruff's dead, so Scruff's not going to dig up Stefan or anything. Stefan's probably not coming back. Who else has been? Jess isn't going to give evidence, except I think she still will. There was a very strange thing on the Twitters.
Mm.
People set up fake accounts like Henry Archer and all that sort of thing. Somebody has actually tweeted the Jess Titchener,
mm-hmm.
and actually said, talk to her as if she was a real person, and said, please, will you testify? You're her only hope, as if it's all really real.
Oh.
Which is, I know, slightly odd. Anyway, I just sort of backed away from that tweet very slowly, didn't sort of press the mouse really gently. Who else has gone that could have testified? There was someone else, wasn't there? Charlie's disappeared. Adam's been kind of neutralized because of he doesn't know what's going on with Ian. I thought that was really moving that Ian wrote Helen that letter and that it really meant something to her.
Mm.
That sort of brought back memories of what she'd been and that sort of thing. And, sorry, I know this isn't relevant to Michelle's call, but it did. The bit that really made me laugh out of all the wrong episodes I listened to was when Joe took the head off the, off the elf. And you could just hear him talking to that child, saying, "They like it when their heads come off." It made me absolutely roar with laughing on the dog walk. It was very, very funny. Ah, yes. But I do wish that they would stop making the Grundys the, like, you know, ha, look, there's some lives going down the toilet, you know, to sort of be the comedy turn to distract from what's happening with Helen. As you said this week, Emma did do that piece about how she just wanted normal things for her family. With, if Rob's now got this job, she's going to be getting lots more work with Henry, isn't she?
You'd think so. You would think so. What happens to your dog when you go away on holiday?
I have a lovely dog walker called Sarah, who comes and house sits. So she looks after the house, the dog and the cat for me.
Oh.
And the dog absolutely adores her. And I think he's secretly quite gutted when we come home. But anyway.
And does he... But does he go extra specially kind of like mental when you all come back?
Yeah, for about 10 minutes. The cat just saunters past and sort of looks meaningfully at her food bowl and that's it. Just at all. Oh, now, unusually, rather than having an emailer in a row, well, we have had some emailer in a row, but we've also had a texter in a row.
Really?
Yes, from my friend Ryan, who doesn't even listen to the Archers, but his other half, Am, does. How could you not have told me that Colonel Vogel from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is playing Rob's father in the Archers? A good bit of class in the show. Will he be turning up on Dumpty Dum? And I said, no, because we didn't know. And he said, I've always been a fan of Michael Byrne, one of those actors whose name doesn't become well known, but always puts in a decent performance. Played loads of Nazis, presumably why he got the job of Rob's father. So there we go.
Talking about Nazis, Lucy.
Yes, as we're not supposed to be. Yes.
Have you heard about that new film, A German Love? What are you giggling for?
Because you haven't heard of it either until you just had to Google it to find out what it was called.
Lucy. Let's keep the magic in the editing process.
Keeping the magic alive. Yeah, sorry.
But no, she's 105. Right, this woman. And she's Goebbels' secretary. Oh, she was. Because Goebbels long dead.
It's not given her anything to do for ages. Yeah.
Well, she... Really? She completely and utterly is an apologist for the Nazis and says, I didn't know what was going on. But she's so incredibly dismissive. And this thing is supposed to be absolutely a phenomenal watch. It is in German, but with subtitles. But she goes into an incredible amount of detail. She even had Jewish friends, and she says, "Oh well, we're just told that they just went off somewhere, and we just believed it."
You know, I don't like black people, but I do like Lenny Henry.
But only in small doses. Yes. But no, she it's just, you know, this woman retired in 1971. Yeah, and she's
what?
Huh?
Retired from what?
From just working, full stop. But so she worked, you know, she worked up until the Russians captured Berlin. She worked for Goebbels in the propaganda ministry. She talks about meeting Hitler, but is just very just talks about it as if to say it was nothing really much, and there wasn't really much of a Holocaust. And she believed everything that came out of Goebbels' mouth. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. 105, still kicking about. There you go. If you want to see one of the true evil faces of Nazism, I think it's this woman here, basically. You know, who has no emotional connection with anything that kind of went on. So that's Nazis dealt with. Right, the Archers.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Welcome back, Lucy, as well as Usual greetings to you, Royfield, Millie Bell, and all Dumpty Dimmers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. I tip my hat to last week's men's panel. It was a great show, and much respect to Millie Bell. Doing the forum and Facebook page roundup was great fun, but it takes a lot of effort to do that each and every week. Angus is a little sad today as the Olympics wind down. It was a great fortnight for teams Great Britain, USA, France, South Africa, Togo, and any other nation a Dumpty Dimmer may have been rooting for. The only stain was LaFaire Ryan Lochte. I can think of two Ambridge residents he reminded me of. Obviously, first, his twin bro from a different mo, Toby. It was like an episode of Bros Gone Wild, A Night in Rio. Second, Lochte matched Rob's ability to lie and create a heroic story about himself at the drop of the hat. Interestingly, this morning we were listening to Broadcasting House, and an American detective was talking about a sociopath's ability to lie because of a lack of empathy and moral compass. I could swear he was describing Rob to a T. Unfortunately, as we must speak of Rob, I agree with what Royfield was talking about last week. Rob has become a one-dimensional cardboard cutout, though it is interesting that we occasionally see a chink in his facade when we listen to his ambivalent interactions with his mother and his brief snippets of being upset when he recalls his being shipped off to boarding school when he was a child. He certainly grew up in a house where no real kind emotion was expressed, and he thinks he will be creating a better world for his sons. Of course, this is not true, as Rob has no clue as to the emotional damage that was done to him, how his extreme narcissism covers a fractured soul, and the incredible amount of anger he has towards women, which leads to such sociopathic behavior. He would be a very tough nut to crack in long-term therapy. Maybe one day, after years of treatment, I could have him laying on the floor, curled up in a fetal position, crying his eyes out. But don't count on it happening on the Archers. And how does Rob get rewarded? With a job offer from Justin Elliott. Makes one wonder about the business acumen and overall judgment of Justin. Pissing off the entire Archer clan is not such a good idea. And is there no justice in Ambridge? Well, that is to be seen. Since everything has significance, maybe this will lead to Charlie returning to the village as an avenging angel and Stefan's body being found. Something has to happen to change this continuing course of injustice. You know, except for Phoebe getting to Oxford, it was a pretty depressing week. Phoebe's brief foray into, what's the point of going to university, there's money in yurts, was clearly what we call in the field reaction formation. But I can say, in all my years of working with adolescents, waiting for their university acceptance letters, I never encountered one who voiced that. In any case, good for Phoebe for getting in and getting away for a while. Maybe she'll fill a desperate need and become the village psychiatrist. Good grief, it seems that Anna, who has suddenly embraced her client's attitudes about self-worth being based on the love of a man, is certainly in need of one. Well, let's hope there's a better week ahead. Talk to you soon. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis, signing off.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Okay, Witherspoon says Rob is one-dimensional.
That's not true. It's absolutely not true.
Two-dimensional.
How many dimensions did Witherspoon
ascribe? I think he said two-dimensional.
Really?
And he said he agreed with you.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Then I feel a bit bad for disagreeing with Witherspoon. Now, why did he agree with me? He's a sensible man. Thank you, Witherspoon.
Because Rob's just being boo-hiss, nasty, ridiculous at the moment. But then he said he did mention that, you know, we had a little bit of... Mummy didn't love me enough. That's why I'm psychotic.
Well, yeah. And actually, we had more of that again. Yes, Rob did pull his mother to task about going off to boarding school and feeling somewhat abandoned and unloved and just, like, dumped there. And there's no two ways about it. That not that the scriptwriters are being Rob apologists, but they're trying to explain how somebody can have his coldness... Yeah. And controlling nature around, in inverted commas, love. Mm-hmm. And what I do think is very compelling about the way that they write Rob and Henry, and I know we've had a little bit of a slight barney about this before, but Rob does love Henry. But yes, it is about control, and it isn't mm-hmm. love the way that 95% of the population would ascribe as being love. But interestingly, he can subtly turn it on a dime. So it's about him feeling that he's the center of somebody's world. So I think it's really interesting that this week, Henry being excited about going away with his grandparents, bearing in mind he's what, 5, 6, that Rob takes that as a slight against him. Mm. Not that he can just be happy to be having a holiday.
Well, but when you look at the pathology of people with narcissistic personality disorder, they have children because they want friends and they want to surround themselves with people who reinforce their own idea of themselves. Mm. So they want admiring children who completely and entirely support the worldview of the narcissist themselves. And that's why they get on very well with children when they're toddlers, up until they get to Henry's age. And it's Henry's age where they start to question parents and say, I don't think you're right. I don't like you. They tell fibs. I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. I wish you weren't my mum. They make up what they've been doing, and they start to challenge the worldview of the narcissist, and that's when the narcissist starts to lose it, and that's when violence, if violence is going to happen, this is kind of the time when it is, because the child starts to not be this entirely admiring little doppelganger of the narcissists themselves. Mm. So that kind of makes sense in terms of where and they're also in case they would take anything personally. They take things because everything is about them. Everything that anybody says is about them. So when a child says, "I don't want to play that," they take that very, very personally. And they find it incredibly difficult to distance what children say from actually, you know, just children being children and sort of exploring boundaries. They take it incredibly personally. Mm. And that's sort of what's happening.
I think you could well have neatly plotted how this whole thing is going to unravel for Rob, because it's very obvious that he's struggling to cope with Henry at the best of times. Rob, we all know, has got a temper anyway. And any little 5, 6-year-old is going to push anyone's buttons at times. Mm. But Rob doesn't have those natural coping mechanisms that most of us have, because he takes it as
a personal affront that Henry won't do what he wants, because it means Henry saying, "No, I don't agree with you." Mm. And Rob can't allow anyone to not agree with him.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, maybe this is the pathway out of this storyline cul-de-sac, you know, that it's going to be Henry doing something and then Rob just losing it and losing it spectacularly in public, because we have had glimpses. So number one, on the phone the week before last, Emma does actually hear him say, "I'm Henry's stepfather," which he's never ever said before.
Yeah,
but he didn't realise that he was actually within earshot.
Yeah,
and then there has been, when he went off with his grandparents, him being Henry, there was some horrible aside about, "Well, I can take you to a better beach than they can," of which Kirsty then overheard. So there, you know, the cracks are there.
Yeah, can we do Julie from Pickering now?
Why not?
Hi, Royfield and Lucy, Julie from Pickering here. Nice to have you back, Lucy. Shambridge did a great job in your absence, but I did miss your monologues. And last week's show, the men's hour, absolutely fantastic. Yes, do that again, Royfield. That was really good fun. Just want to say, this is probably for next week's programme, not this week's, that I think Pat missed a trick last night on the Sunday episode. The bit about when Rob told Pat and Tony that he'd got a job and he was going to be the new estate manager, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever, Rob. Pat should have been straight in there with, "Well, you're still working for us because we're paying you sick pay, so we haven't had your resignation. Write it now. I want a letter of resignation from you with immediate effect," and sick pay stopped. She really could have got one over on him then. And I just wonder why she didn't do that. because in theory, if he's being paid sick pay, he is still employed by Bridge Farm Shop. Anyway, that was all I wanted to say this week, apart from bloody Rob. When is he going to get his comeuppance? I think it'll be Emma, because now he's going to be working full-time, then he'll need more childcare, he'll have to leave Henry with Emma a little bit more, and I reckon Emma will be his downfall. OK, that's about it from Pickering, North Yorkshire. Doodles!
The reason I wanted to do Julie from Pickering, or Puckering, as she wrote it, was that she says that Henry will be with Emma more, and she thinks that Emma might help in the unravelling. It could be, if we put together what you've just said and what Julie's just said, that we have a situation where Rob does lose it with Henry, and then Henry either reports back to Emma, or Emma notices some evidence of Henry's changed behaviour, or she's actually witness to Rob assaulting Henry, and then Emma go, because Emma's sort of what did she do before? She was involved in the sort of someone else, wasn't she? She was involved with the sort of the unveiling of someone, of the revealing of someone else as a wrong one, but I can't remember who it was.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Have I dreamt that? Oh, God. No, skip that bit. I'm going around the bend. But yes, she's not... It was she informed against her own uncle, didn't she? Despite the fact Susan said, don't.
Oh, against Clive?
Yeah.
This wasn't with the auntie cardboard thing, was it?
No, it was more recent than that. It was the burning down the barn.
Oh, yes. Well done.
Yeah. And it was Emma that did that and decided to you know, she's sort of selfish, but she has a very strong moral compass if something's not right. And I think she could be the hopefully she might be the one that fixes the bugger.
Who's next, Lucy?
Auntie Jean.
Ooh.
Now.
Hello, it's Auntie Jean here. I know I haven't been on for a bit. My dear old mum's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and we've had a bit of trouble finding her a home and one thing and another. But hopefully things are settling down now, so here I am back to cheer you all up again. I just wanted to say that Shula, the martyr, is never going to be happy unless she has told Helen, Pat, Tony, Tom, etc., etc., about what she did. And the fact that she tried to put it right, etc. And it's not going to go very well, is it? Because, you know, Pat and Tony and Tom are going to be absolutely horrified that she just didn't speak up when she could have done about the Hunt saboteur. Because we all know what Sheila's like. She's just going to have to do it, isn't she? Pip is just being silly. She's going to end up pregnant. Well, that's just going to be one of those things where she's going to fall out with her parents and her grandmother will be horrified and Toby will try and stand up and say, oh, I'll marry you, Pip. And, oh, well, I don't even want to think about it. It's too much. I think Rob's going to get his comeuppance soon, I hope. I think Helen will get off at the trial because it seems to me that it's all falling a bit apart for Rob. I know he's got this job with Justin, but I suspect that Justin might be discovering a few things in the next few weeks that could be quite helpful to other people. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. Anyway, it's only a quick one. Before you record on the Monday, I always manage to forget that it's Monday. Get confused. I'm old, you'll forgive me. Nice to speak to you all again, and I hope to see some of you in December, but I'll let you all know what I'm doing. Bye.
Is Pip up the clanger? That's what we need to know.
No.
She's not. Is that too soapy tropey?
There is no way. If she is all to Toby, friends with benefits... She's not going to, if she's going to be that clinical about things, she's not going to be that sloppy, pun intended, right, that she's going to be, you know, she's going to forget or neglect to take precaution. She's not stupid.
No.
She's just annoying, but she's not stupid. Sorry, Auntie Jean. She's not up the clanger.
Right. Okay, that's that dealt with. And Goddess Diva.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dumpty Dum, Goddess Diva here. Wanted to say how much I really enjoyed Men's Hour last weekend. I really didn't expect to, but I did. I thought it was absolutely lovely. And Jed, I'm still laughing at Hakuna Matata. and to paint with all the colours of the wind. I snorted so loud on the bus, I think people thought I was having some sort of aneurysm. So good work. Good work, man. It was really enjoyable, actually. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. It was really nice. I enjoyed it very, very much. So, yeah, on to the archery for this week. Shula, oh, get some dignity, woman. He's just not into you. No docky, locky, cocky for you. You have been docky, locky, cocky, blocky or something. But, yeah, stop it. That whole, it really smacked of, oh, come round my house for dinner one day. Oh, I'm busy that day. I didn't tell you what day, but I'm still busy. It was just embarrassing. Surely you're a grown woman. Richard Locke is not the answer. Sort your life out with Alistair. Pin him down. Find out what's going on. Dogging. And because much as I loathe you and think you're a pain in the arse, I don't really want to hear you being that unhappy, because I don't like to hear anybody being that unhappy unless it's Rob. And he's like, he knows very well that monkeys don't dance. Piss off, Rob. You're getting right on my nerves now. I mean, you've got on my nerves from day one, but even more so on my nerves now. And I swear, when I hunt you down, I shall finish what Helen started. Okie dokie, off to cuddle my cats, having spent a lovely afternoon with Yokel Bear today. So I will bid you adieu and say God is Steve. Bye.
Still hates Rob, I think.
Mm.
I think she does. Okay. And now we have Blythe Spirit.
I love Blythe Spirit.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, Blythe Spirit calling. Well, the good news is that I am fully appraised of what is going on in Ambridge now. I am back and listening. And yeah, it's all very interesting, isn't it? Firstly, Anna Tregoran, I'm very disappointed in the way that she is being portrayed. It is not doing the legal profession any favours. The inaccuracies are huge, as Miss Mid-City has already identified, and I'm extremely disappointed that because Helen is not giving her the information that she needs to actually do her job and to build a case, it's just unleashed this kind of EastEnderisation of self-flagellation and, oh my God, I'm a terrible lawyer. She's not a terrible lawyer. Any other person in that situation would surely say to their client, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Unless you tell me what happened and tell me before we go to trial, I cannot do anything for you. That's just so completely obvious. I don't believe that a barrister with Anna's experience would indulge in this ridiculous, mawkish self-flagellation. It's just, oh, sorry, I literally cannot deal with it. It's just insane. Completely understand that her marriage is broken up. But again, why do we need a flipping character with all this kind of complication behind them? It's so unnecessary. One thing I am particularly interested in, though, is Rob, the Dark Lord, Titchener's appointment to estates manager at Damara Capital. It obviously proves that Justin is an extremely bad manager, because in any other situation, someone would have actually gone to both the parties involved to find out what was really happening. Justin didn't do that. He's taken the Dark Lord at his word. But what the interesting development will be is how their relationship develops. You'll recall that at times Justin treated Charlie like absolute crap, so much so and with such familiarity that we actually thought that Charlie was some kind of family member, and that kind of familial intimacy, if you like, gave way to kind of levels of disrespect that you would not normally expect in a professional environment. Rob does not take direction. He isn't going to like it if Justin treats him in the same way that he treated Charlie. So it'll be very interesting to see, and this is my little plot prediction, whether Justin starts to cotton on to what Rob is actually like. And then if he goes back to Charlie and says, OK, I doubted you, but I really do want you to tell me what happened. Then we'll see. Perhaps Culvert Gate will come out. Perhaps Charlie will come back to Ambridge and blow the whole story open. Could be very, very interesting. Anyway, that's it from me. I hope everyone's well, and I will continue to keep listening now, if only to get this blasted Titchener storyline over and done with. Can we please have it finished? Okay, that's it. Cheers now. Bye.
Anna Toboggan is being misrepresented as the world's worst sodding solicitor. Oh, I know, I just wish she didn't have to have a thing. Why couldn't she just come in, be a solicitor, and go away again? Why does she have to be related to everybody and be having personal issues and blah, 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 blah.
To be fair, she's only related to one person. But what we could have had was her just coming in.
Jill's goddaughter, isn't she, as well?
Well,
I know it's not related.
Well, exactly. What she could have done is come in, done her job.
And gone away again.
No. And then, basking in the glow of success, then revealed herself to be a regular human being like everybody else.
Yes, rather than having a crisis right
then. During, exactly. Yeah. Retiring to a room with a bottle of gin or whatever the heck it was. But, you know, so I kind of agree.
Okay.
Mm.
Now, next bit of trivia. We've done Judi Dench.
And Nazis.
And what?
Nazis.
Nazis, Judi Dench.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the boy that plays Josh is called Angus Imrie?
No.
He is the son of Celia Imrie, who played in Acorn Antique, and she was in Victoria Wood as seen on TV.
You love anything to do with Victoria Wood.
I do. Unashamed. Victoria Wood and Pam Earth should jointly run Britain if one of them wasn't dead.
Go on.
And also, his dad is Benjamin Whitrow, who played Russell in After Henry, which was a fantastic Radio 4 comedy series starring Prunella Scales, friend of Judi Dench, there's a link, written by Simon Brett.
What was the premise of After Henry? Because it's ringing bells, but I can't...
After Henry was about a widow, who's Prunella Scales, who played a lady called Claire France, who lived with her mother and her daughter. They each had a floor of a London house. And she worked with Russell, who was played by Benjamin Whitrow, who ran a bookshop.
Oh, okay. Wasn't at all what I thought you were going to say. All right. Tell you what, though. This actor who's playing Josh is cracking.
Yeah.
He's very
good pedigree.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really noticed last week was it was basically about conflict, but kind of manageable, believable dollops of conflict. So you had Pip and Toby.
Dollops of conflict.
as opposed to shed loads of it. Just little dollops. And it was all kind of believable. So you had the Pip and Toby thing. And then we had David and Josh. And Josh's results are much better than David ever expected. And even Josh thought they were going to be. And you know, there's a little snidey remark the episode before from Pip saying that, oh, they're going to be terrible because he never did any revising. And Josh is just like, so what? When David goes, Josh, you've got, I think it's like two B's and a C or something or another, or two C's and a B. And you're Einstein. You're the cleverest archer ever. And Josh is like, so what? And Dave is incredibly frustrated. And throughout that episode, you have, that dynamic kind of plays out. And when Josh has kind of made his mind up about what he's going to do, which is not go to university, you know, David is kind of talking over him. And I just thought it was just very well written, very believable. But this kid can act. He's absolutely very good. You know, we might think he's a slightly snotty-nosed character in terms of being slightly precocious and reminds us of Tom 10 years ago, but he's acting his socks off, and it was just really, really, really well written. So you, and then I said about this whole thing about kind of, you know, conflict, but it actually happening on radio, as opposed to, as you kind of noticed, a lot of, you know, when people have barneys with each other, invariably, you know, it cuts away. And then you have the conversation is what is dealt with kind of afterwards.
Yeah.
When Josh had strips torn off him for the way when he took the chickens. David had a go, and then so did Neil. We didn't hear that. But you heard it all this week, and I think The Archers was better for it.
Do you know what I noticed? Having been away and then listening to a lot of episodes all at once, all of them incorrect. Yeah. Yes. What a bloody good actor Joe Grundy is. It's one of the most hammy characters ever, but he never hams it up to ridiculous, and his comic timing is fantastic.
Yes.
And I was listening to him and Eddie just doing that scene where where they're trying to fix the elves and what kid falls over and the mum demands money back from the car park from bloody Elf World, whatever it is. And I just thought, this is a pair of actors who know each other so well.
Mm.
They almost don't need a script. They know exactly what yeah. their character would say in this situation. And it was lovely, really, really lovely to listen to.
Mm.
It was just so natural. It was just flowed so beautifully, and there was no strain in it or anything.
And I think we've mentioned this before, but it's one of the only or least obvious male on male relationships, which is absolutely compelling. So, you know, the amount of interaction they actually have together is a lot, and then they very clearly have this relationship. Which means the absolute world to each other. And the only other male-on-male relationship which I can think of off the top of my head, I'm going to discount the Fair Brethren because they're just so new, so I'll just put them completely to one side, would actually be David and Kenton. But the amount of interaction between them is far less.
Yeah.
You know, it's far less. But, you know, there is the whole kind of Dave thing and, you know, and Kenton feeling, yeah. well, I'm the older brother, but I don't get the respect for being the older brother, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I suppose there is the Grundys as well. The younger Grundys, Will and Ed. But again, that seems to have kind of gone for a Burton because Will's completely and utterly disappeared.
Yeah.
And
I just thought we haven't heard him for ages, have we? No. We've just heard... I can't imagine what Will's going to say when we find out we're moving, blah, blah, blah. And we haven't actually heard what he thinks.
Exactly.
Mm.
Next.
Next is an email from Tiffananda.
Mm-hmm.
It's about where I have listened to Dumpty Dum.
Okay.
Not meaning to show off, but I just can't deny it to you. Yesterday, I was listening to Man's Hour podcast while waiting several hours for the Kandy Isala Perahera to begin. By the way, that is the elephant procession in the cultural capital of Sri Lanka. Ooh. I was seated with my husband Richard and our two sons on a makeshift balcony which had been cut out of the second story of a shop. I must say I laughed out loud several times to what I cannot recall, but it was a most entertaining and well thought out show in marked contrast to the week before, although I did enjoy Kate's, sorry, Harriet's insane rants. I have an awful feeling I would sound like her, but just without the hilarious impressions. Before I sign off, I must point out that the procession was a three-hour extravaganza of 100 elephants and 10,000 performers. Rio, eat your heart out.
Gosh.
That definitely wins most things, I think, probably, doesn't it?
It's going to win most things.
Yeah.
And just so you know, Lucy, we've been having people sending pictures of where they listen to Dum Dee Dum.
Yes, I saw some of those, yeah.
Easily 50 have come in on Twitter and Facebook combined. Absolutely fantastic. Couple in New Zealand. I don't think we've had a Canada one yet. Couple of bedrooms. Couple of, you know, bedposts, so to speak. Also headboards. Couple of dogs. Loads of people walking dogs. Some beautiful pictures of the English countryside. California a few times, New York, you name it, Dum-de-dum listeners listen to it. Oh, even on the Northern Line. I reckon this is one picture of somebody on the Northern Line, and I'm saying to myself, was that where Greavesy?
No, he was on the Victoria Line.
To be fair, I think this person says the Northern Line, it actually looked like the Victoria Line, because those trains and those tubes are newer on the Victoria Line normally, aren't they? It actually looked like the Victoria Line. But anyway, keep them coming because they're lovely folks.
No one sent us one of them in the bath, have they? Because lots of people said that they listened to us in the bath. I don't think I'd want lots of people sending us pictures of...
Well, you can have the right amount of foam like they do in the movies and stuff. You can still be quite discreet and stuff. Thing is, right, I don't want to be fiddling with my phone over the bath.
No.
Because
what are we going to say then? I'm so glad you said phone.
you know. Exactly.
I don't want an image of you fiddling with anything over the bath, to be
honest. Stop it. Are we all out of calls and are we all out of emails?
We are.
Crumbs. All right, then. Let's quickly take a brief camp coffee sojourn. You can have a little tot of... what are you drinking today?
Sparkling water today. It's quite hot.
Mm. there's something foot that you sometimes drink, which is alcoholic. What's that?
Tanglefoot.
There you go, Tanglefoot.
Yeah.
Steve Bye-Bye likes to drink Tanglefoot too.
Yes, I.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No.
Anyway, so you have your sparkling water. I'll have my cup of coffee. See you on the other side. Touch your Millie belt. Thank you very much, please.
When you don't have a roof over your head.
Build that wall. Build that wall.
There was nothing marked classified on my emails either sent or received.
Build that wall.
I am humbled to have been chosen by the Conservative Party to become its leader.
Said Britain is just a small island that no one pays attention to.
A former colony won the right to determine its own destiny.
Hello and welcome to Mid-Atlantic, the show where we look at the news and the views from one side of the ocean from the perspective of the other.
Do you have a National Trust sticker on your car? Do you think you could be best friends with Kath Kidson? Do you spend hours wandering around the airport looking for an organic quinoa cafe because you refuse to go to Burger King? Then Sarah Smith Cloths offer you. Available from Sainsbury's for the Posher Washer. Proud sponsors of Dumpty Dum.
G'day everyone, and congratulations to Witherspoon. You did an excellent job last week, and now I'm very comfortable knowing I can go on holiday whenever I like because you have it covered. And on our forum this week, there was some Kiwi listener congratulating the men on a great podcast last week, and we had some people supporting that. Goddess Diva asked where the lesbians are at. And we had Kelly Schroeder, who offered a literature-themed ending to the storyline. Helen stays silent, is found guilty and stays in prison. Rob becomes more and more ostracised, but wreaks his manipulative vengeance over the years. And in 15 to 16 years, Henry reaches his young adult years and murders Rob, finishing what his mother started. But just like his mother is imprisoned, Kira marries him, but Henry, upon release, shows emerging Rob-like tendencies. After 15 more years of crazy, Kira is led away in handcuffs while Henry lies dead on the floor in the exact same spot he would have been if Rob had been successful all those years ago. Kelly also throws out the challenge to us all to say, what about if it was written in the style of Beatrix Potter or James Joyce, maybe Edgar Allan Poe? Or Steinbeck. So if you feel the creative urge, do join us. On the Facebook page, we wondered if somebody could have a whip round so that the Grundys could buy the cottage. Because I must admit, I am so sick of listening to Emma saying, "You're only saying that to cheer me up." I just, look, just let them move into the cottage. Let's all move on from that one. We're also very impressed with Team Matthew, and off you go, Tobes. We also wondered what would happen if Phoebe decides to have a gap year and become a yurt worker, and we wanted to be there when Phoebe told Jenny for this, but of course the storyline moved along. Oh, talking of which, did you notice that Josh got two B's in the C, which makes BBC? And also, I don't really know how they translate to results from other countries, but I didn't think that was that great. He's a smart one in the family. Am I being too harsh? We also talked about Joe and his ferrets, and we weren't sure if you wanted to hear more about Tom's sausages or Alice's agricultural drones. Steph Bushington Pomba Pillar says, Tom likes his sausages, but he never sounds like they are the cure for cancer, eczema and the common cold, which is what Alice was saying about her drones. At least I think she was. I got distracted after the first 2 hours. Lots of people joined in with that discussion, so if you'd like to get involved too, please come to our Facebook page. And I would like to apologise for my appalling understanding of the written word. I didn't realise that yeoman was in fact yeoman. And I'm actually quite embarrassed because my sister-in-law comes from Belfast. And if I'd said that in her voice, I would have got it. So no kudos for me at all. So I'm now going to finish up and hand over to yeoman Royfield and your woman, Lucy V. Freeman, and say, hooroo!
Thank you, Millie. That was lovely.
Thanks, Millie. And also, genuinely, thank you to everybody who stood in for me and let me have a lovely holiday. Thank you very much to Harriet and to Yoko Bear and to the assorted cast of Men's Hour, which I still have not dared listen to.
Well,
but I will.
It's Man's Hour plus 43 minutes on top. It went on a little bit longer than I thought. But yeah, you should listen, and because it was good fun. But it's not the same without you.
Yeah.
This is all you want to hear.
No.
Right, folks. End of the show. It's been somewhat of an interesting one, considering my co-host hadn't listened to any of the shows. But
no. I hadn't listened to any of the Dumpty Dums, and I'd listened to 3 episodes of The Archers, but the wrong 3. Well, the right 2, the wrong last one. I don't know what I did, to be honest.
Right. Okay, so suffice to say, you came to this show unprepared.
Yes.
Wrong monologue, unprepared, but you winged it.
I did. Extra Dormouse, who
he loves you.
He complained.
You love him.
Turned him down like a bedspread. No, that after he turned me down like a bedspread, that I'd never used him on Tweet of the Week. So here you are. Actually, this was funny before I realised who it was.
But it's not Tweet of the Week. It's just a tweet.
It's just a tweet.
So he's right. You've never used him as Tweet of the Week.
I'd never even quoted him on anything. So, touchy. He had Carol saying, what did Max say? And Anna saying, Max said that Max wanted us to stop being so bloody coy about Max's pronouns. Yes, I do think that it's going to be a woman, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a bloke.
It is a bloke.
Yeah, it's a bloke. And
how do you know?
Because our eagle-eyed listener who knits for that website, whose name temporarily escapes me, said...
Who knits for a website?
Yeah, there's a website and it's quite famous. And
oh! Yarn, ravelling
Ravelry. There you go. Yeah. That's the one. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before, said, because, you know, I do listen. I listen intensely. And she did say he at one point.
Right.
So it's not a woman.
I don't know. I think that might just be a continuity.
Well, I'm just telling you what she said. And I think, though I could be wrong, and I'm frequently wrong, but last week, she also said he as well. He talked about his current girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Next, Liz Perslow, who said, I'm hoping Kafkas can see through children who say things like, I want to live with Daddy because he's buying me pizza tonight. Ungooglable said, I wish Carol Tregoran was my mother. My real-life mother has never supplied me with cannabis. Which I don't want to go listen to this episode immediately because I've clearly missed something. And Greavesy, lovely Greavesy, aka Derek in the back bedroom, said, was catching someone else up on what had happened. Probably should have done that for me, really, shouldn't he? This week. Mm-hmm. And just decided to throw caution to the winds and said, Toby and Rex had an incestuous man snog. Aliens came down and abducted Pip. Hurrah! And Jill baked a cake. So I think Greavesy needs to lay off whatever Carol Toboggan is supplying, to be honest. And Carlos Del Mambo got Tweet of the Week. Who, after a particularly painful exchange with Carol Toboggan, just put, Rumpole would have nailed this weeks ago.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Let's get a frictional barrister in to fix a problem on a frictional docu-soap. Yes. Very good.
And that's it. I used to love that. Was it Leo McKern? What was his name?
Leo McKern.
Oh, see, Rumpole. That just reminds me of being about 8 years
old. Do you know
who old.
Played him recently on a Radio 4 adaptation?
No.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
Yep.
That Benedict's getting about a bit, isn't he?
I am a fund of useless... Honestly, I could win a pub quiz at the minute.
And what film is Benedict Cumberbatch starring in at the end of the year?
Oh, is it one of those superhero ones?
It is. Doctor Strange.
Ah... I saw him in Zoolander 2. He was a bit strange in that. Very good.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. He's androgynous.
Kind of is anyway. Isn't he? You know, he's... Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually physically...
Well, he looks like a lizard, let's face it.
Not exactly. Exactly, exactly,
he looks
exactly.
Like, who was that fella that used to... Phil Cool, who used to do that impression
yes,
of that...
Exactly.
Thing. That's who he looks like.
Phil Cool's completely made out of rubber, wasn't he? Bulgy yes. Eyes and used to sweat a lot. That was
because
Phil Cool.
Because his accent, he used to be able to put 87 vowels in everything because he had such a language.
Right. I don't know if this will go down as one of our best, Lucy.
Well, no. I think it's been more light entertainment weekly and less about the Archers with a few Nazis chucked in.
If you want to go and comment on this show and wildly disagree.
Just not.
You never know. They might want to wildly disagree and say, actually, no, this was a podcast in gold. Talking about gold, I think we have to stand up and salute Team GB.
We do.
Mm-hmm. It's Mo Farah in front as they come to the top of the straight in the 5,000 metres. History is beckoning. Chelimo comes to the outside. He's going to be the danger. Mo's gritting his teeth. He's looking around. He's got Chelimo beaten. And he's walking in the footsteps of the great man from all those years ago. Farah wins. Chelimo gets second. Mo Farah does the double-double after Usain did the triple-triple. It looked as though he had them covered. And that was the way it proved. 13:03:30. He does walk in the footsteps of the great Lassie Viren.
To Ryan Lochter, who is extremely naughty man.
So, if you want to add your feelings about Ryan Lochter, why don't you go to dumdydum.com/forum? You can go and put them there. Because you do have a section for other. It doesn't have to be Archers related. So, maybe if you... And also, if you just want to salute, you know, the great sterling work there of PMGB, and the fact that we got this one right, haven't we? You know what? As a country, if we put our minds to it, without any rancour, we can actually get quite a lot done. And it has to be said, you got to big up John Major with this, because it was John Major that basically said, right, after Atlanta, when we only had one gold, we need to sort this out. And the lottery money then goes, you know, not just for charitable causes, but then to sport, specifically the Olympics. Me being all the way over here, somewhat proud of seeing that little Union Jack flying up the flagpole all the time, and God Save the Queen belting out. Awesome. Lucy.
Yeah.
iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
Why are they important?
Because they give you something to talk about at the end of the show.
No. The more reviews we get, and the more 5-star reviews, yes. It means we're higher up in that chart. It means more people get to listen to our show. However.
Yes.
However. Right. Here's the thing. Now, I'm putting it out to you, dear listener, that we need to up our listenership. So we get, I don't know, 24,000 listeners a month or something or another. Right? It is going up, but it's going up rather slowly. Every listener, can you just tell one other person to go listen to Dum De Dum? Somebody new, somebody that hasn't had the podcasting delight that is Lucy talking about a subject where she hasn't listened to it for, you know, for 3 weeks and cobbling together something resembling a show.
I'm sorry.
So no,
this is like one of those dreams where you find yourself on stage and you can't remember what your first line is, or you've got to sit your French GCSE again or something.
Well, I think you're podcasting gold and you've managed to get through the show. So, but serious point though, folks, serious, please go and tell just one other person who doesn't listen to Dum De Dum, say, why don't you listen to Dum De Dum next week? Because it'd be interesting to see what the bump is on the downloads. But also, we need you, dear listener, not only to write an iTunes review, if you haven't done so already, but just be an evangelist for all things Dum De Dum, because that would be good, smashing and awesome. Now, after you've done that, there are another couple of ways you can help keep our little show on the road. You can help us by hitting that donate button on our website.
Or you can go to patreon.com, search for Dumpty Dum, and donate $2 a show, which is about £1.30.
50. Remember, 50. Yeah, it's about £1.50 now. And you know what? There you go. Remember, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105, just like Collis Steve does, to leave us a telephonic message. On social media, specifically the Twitters, you can find us, we're at Dum De Dum. Me, I'm at Royfield, and Harriet is at Sambridges.
Sarah Smith is at Sarah_Smith, and I am at Lucy V. Freeman.
On the Book of Face, you can simply find us by typing in Dum De Dum, and there are 1,300 and odd Leica lurkers, and they're just doing stuff on the Book of Face. Now, it's good to have you back, Lucy.
Thank you.
Promise me you'll never go again.
No.
But 3 weeks was a really long time. There's no need to go away for that length of time.
No need.
Absolutely no need. No need at
just
all.
Just showing off, unnecessary.
Absolutely. Like, short, sharp week. More than sufficient.
Okay. Right, okay.
So, you won't do it again?
No, I won't do it again.
Good. All right. So and on that note, folks, you heard here first. No Dum De Dum will be Freeman free in future.